Mary, did you know? What a question. Thank you, Tony. In recent years, that song has become one of my favorite Christmas carols. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the 11th chapter of the book of Isaiah. I will begin to read at the first verse. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and of understanding. The Spirit of counsel and of power. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will lie down with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion are the yearlings together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This Advent, I'm preaching on the candles of Advent. Last Sunday, we talked about the candle of hope. This morning, it's the candle of peace. Peace is the very essence of the message of Christmas. The peace of God, because Christ came to bring his peace to every person on earth. Father James Keller, the founder of the Christophers, says, he came as the Prince of Peace. And the word peace was closely identified with both the beginning and the end of the life of Jesus Christ on earth. He continues, in Bethlehem at his birth, the angels sang, peace on earth, goodwill to men. 33 years later, Jesus rose from the dead And he spoke these words to his disciples, "My peace I give to you. As the Father sent me, I send you." And that's the sublime commission that's been given to all of us. First of all, that we receive and experience Christ's peace for us, and that we take that peace into our hearts, into our homes, into our neighborhoods, onto our jobs, so that it can radiate from there to every part of the earth. Now, peace comes in times of chaos. Peace comes in times of trouble. Yesterday morning, as I said, I convinced Michelle to go to the ER. As with ERs these days, we got there early and stayed late. It was not a fun way to spend the day. And before they made the determination to put her in the hospital and then got her moved to a room, it was a long time. After she was in her room and settled, I drove back to the house to take care of the dogs. Michelle has Johnny and I have Bendy. Johnny Cash, get it? And Bendy is the nickname that I called Brenda. So I had to go home and take care of the dogs. I hadn't been home very long when there was a banging on my front door. And I went to answer the door, and Al Lewis was standing there. Many of you remember Al and Passion. They've been with us a couple of times, be coming back again. He said, "Your daughter has been trying to get in touch with you, and you won't answer your phone." I don't know what happened. When I left the hospital yesterday, I was going to call my older daughter to give her an update on Michelle and so on, and my phone didn't have any service. And I turned it off and back on, turned it off and back on, nothing happened, still didn't have any service. And I said, "Well, I guess I'm going to have to drive over to Gardendale." It was getting close to 5 o'clock. Spectrum closes at 5, so I'm kind of rushing to get over here to Gardendale to see if they can tell me what's wrong with my phone. Just before I pulled in to the store, it started working. Or at least it came back on. But for a while, it still didn't ring. I didn't realize that at the time. And so she had been trying to call me to tell me to call a dear friend, Dave Fagenbush. Dave and his Brenda and me and my Brenda have been very, very close friends the last 25 years. Well, I tried to call, didn't get him. And the way that Michelle found out was that his daughter got on Facebook to her, and then she was trying to reach out to me. And so I told him I somehow couldn't get him, and then I found out his phones were out. And so the daughter sent me her phone number, and I called. And I'm greeted with the words, "Walter, Brenda just went home to be with Jesus." So I jumped in the car, went back to St. Vincent, the hospital where Michelle is. I went up to the fourth floor, the floor that Michelle's on. I went into the surgery intensive care unit where the family was, and it was just around the corner for Michelle. Yesterday was a tough day. But I want to share with you this morning, not just because I was preaching on peace this morning, but because in all of that chaos, the peace of God was with me yesterday. And the peace of God is with me this morning. Christ's peace is special. He himself told his followers, and he tells us, "My peace I give to you." It's not the world's peace, it's mine. And so how does Christ give us peace? The very best way possible. He gives us himself. He himself is peace. He himself is love. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that those of us who believe in him will have eternal life, but before an aspect of eternal life before we get to heaven is abundant life. And abundant life means living in peace. So Christmas then is about peace. It's about love. Next Sunday, we will light the candle of love and we'll talk more specifically about love. But the ancient writer Irenaeus expressed it this way. The Word of God, Jesus Christ, on account of his great love for us, for humankind, became what we are in order to make us what he himself is. He comes to give us himself. He comes to give us peace. A few days before Christmas, a few years ago, two men in Florida decided to go sailing. It was a beautiful day, warm, just enough wind to make it a very enjoyable day. And so they went sailing while their wives went shopping. Well, while they were out in the boat, the weather changed and a storm came up. And it was all they could do to control the boat. On the way back to land, they got grounded on a sandbar. One of those days, you understand. So they had to jump overboard, push with all of their might to get the boat loose and back out into deep water. And while they were doing this, the wind was blowing more and more and the waves were rushing upon them and they were soaking wet. One of the guys looked at the other one and said, "Ain't this fun? Sure beats going Christmas shopping." Stress. Storms. Sometimes we become so used to our life being filled with stresses and turmoil that we think that that's normal, that that's the way we've got to live. So we just get used to it and we cope. We've long forgotten what peace looks like, what peace feels like. And we don't see it, and we don't recognize it, and we don't receive it. This time of the year, if you listen closely to the way a lot of people talk to each other, and maybe to the way we talk to others as well, the talk is filled with all of these problems that are going on. Just can't get my Christmas shopping done. Got a house full of company coming and I haven't gotten the house clean yet. Don't know when I'm going to get the cooking done. You ever do any belly aching like that? That's not what Christmas is about. Christmas is about peace. Hundreds of years before the birth of Christ, the prophet Isaiah came on the scene to bring prophecies of the Messiah, prophecies of salvation to people who were weary, beaten down by stress, by the turmoil of war and chaos brought about by the Assyrians, and peace was not a part of their daily lives. Didn't know what it looked like anymore. Well, throughout the book of Isaiah, he talks about the Messiah, the coming of the Christ child. And he uses many different pictures. In today's scripture, it talks about trees. Interesting enough. In verses 33 and 44, 33 and 34 of chapter 10, leading into chapter 11, he says, "See, the Lord Almighty will lop off the boughs with great power. The lofty trees will be felled. The tall ones will be brought low. He will cut down the forest thickets with an axe, and Lebanon will fall before the Mighty One." Now, what he's talking about here is not literal trees. He's talking about the Assyrian army that is so numerous that there's so many of them that they look like a forest of trees. So many of them, so close together, so powerful. But he says about that army coming against them that God will cut it down. Anybody ever read The Message? Every once in a while, I like to read The Message because it puts things into 21st century English vernacular. The translation of this is that God will make toothpicks out of the forest. That the Lebanon-like mighty army will be reduced to kindling. Don't you like that? We're now moving into chapter 11. Today's scripture begins by saying, "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit." At this point in history, the line of David has been chopped down. First of all, the kingdom of Israel, the northern kingdom, has been carried off into bondage. In Assyria, the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah, will be carried off into Babylon. And it's as though the mighty tree has been chopped down. But God says, out of that stump, a new shoot, new life will begin to grow. This is the Messiah. And when the Messiah comes, he'll be far greater than the original tree, and he will bear much fruit. It's Isaiah's way of saying peace is on the way. You believe that this morning? I do. Not only is peace on the way, we don't know when Christ will come again to bring ultimate peace. But I do know that there are places in the world that are experiencing peace. But I also know there are a lot of people in the world that are experiencing peace regardless of their circumstances, regardless of the chaos. And I want to tell you, these last days of difficulty for me, I have sensed God's peace in my life. Job 14 says, at least there is hope for a tree. It's cut down. If it's cut down, it will sprout again, and new shoots will not fail. Other stump scriptures. 2 Kings 19, once more a remnant of the house of Judah will take root below and bear fruit above. Isaiah 53:2, he grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. Revelation 5:5 says, see the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. If you looked at the circumstances of their current situation, it looked impossible. The house of David had been brought very low. And by the time of the birth of Christ, it was almost rock bottom. Think about the birth of Christ. The ordinariness of the mother and father. The stress of traveling from your home in Nazareth to Jerusalem, not to worship the king, but to be counted and pay taxes. On top of that, if you're Joseph, your wife is pregnant and about to have a baby, and if you're Mary, you're that one who is pregnant and about to have a baby. And the only transportation you have is either walking or riding on a donkey. Not a very fun time. And then when you get there, there's no place to stay. And you end up in a stable. How's all this going to work out, you might wonder? Sometimes I think we wonder the same thing. Because we focus on the problem and not on the person. Well, on that first Christmas day, Isaiah's prophecy came through. Everything unfolded as they had been told for that day, for today, and forever. Years ago, there was a very wealthy man who, along with his devoted young son, shared a passion for art collecting. As I said, he was a wealthy man. He was able to travel the world, and he was able to buy any piece of art that he wanted that was for sale. The price was not an object. And so they kept adding to one of the finest art collections to be found anywhere. Because of traveling with his dad, after he lost his mom and his dad lost his wife, art became a bigger and bigger part of their lives. And the young son grew into an experienced art collector. His trained eye and his sharp business mind caused his father to beam with pride as they looked at collectors and collections around the world. One year, as winter approached, war engulfed the nation, and the young man went off to serve his country. A few weeks later, his father received a telegram. His beloved son was missing in action. Wasn't long after that that he received another telegram, and his fears were confirmed. The young man had died while rushing a fellow soldier to a medic. Distraught and lonely, the old man faced the upcoming Christmas holidays with anguish and sadness. It seemed the joy of the season would visit his house no longer. On Christmas morning, a knock on the door awakened the depressed old man. As he opened the door, he was greeted by a soldier with a large package in his hand. He introduced himself by saying, "I was a friend of your son's. I was the one he was rescuing when he died. May I come in for a few moments? I'd like to share something with you." As the two men began to talk, the man told of how the man's son had shared with everyone in his company his love for fine art. The man said, "I'm an artist, and I want to give you this." The old man unwrapped the package, and the paper gave way to reveal a portrait of his son. Though the world would never consider the painting to be a work of genius or the artist to be more than just reasonably talented, it did feature the young man's face in striking detail. Overcome with emotion, the man thanked the soldier, promising to hang the picture above the fireplace, which he did, pushing aside thousands of dollars worth of really good art. During the days and weeks that followed, the old man realized that even though his son was no longer with him, the legacy of his son and his son's life would continue to touch and live on. The painting of his son soon became his most prized possession. He told his neighbors it was the greatest gift he had ever received. The following year, in the spring, the old man died and became ill and passed away. and the art world was in anticipation. With the collector's passing and his only son dead, all of those paintings would be sold at auction. According to the old man's will, all of the works would be auctioned on Christmas Day of the upcoming year, the day he had received his greatest gift. The day arrived, and art collectors from all over the world gathered to bid on some of the world's most spectacular paintings. Dreams would be fulfilled on this day. Greatness would be achieved. As many would claim, I now have a part of the greatest collection ever put together. The auction began with a painting that was not on the museum's list. It was a painting of the man's son. The auctioneer asked for an opening bid, and the room remained silent. Who will open the bidding with $100? He asked. Minutes passed, no one spoke. Then from the back of the room came these words, "Who cares about that painting? It's just a picture of his son. Let's forget it and get on to the good stuff." "No," said the auctioneer, "we have to sell this one first." "Who will take the son?" And finally, a friend of the old man spoke up. And he said, "Will you take $10 for the painting?" He said, "I'd give more, but it's all I've got." "I knew the boy, and so I'd like to have that painting." "Will anyone go higher?" the auctioneer said. After more silence, going once, going twice, and gone. The gavel fell. Cheers filled the room. Someone exclaimed, "Now we can get on with it. We can bid on these treasures." It was at that moment that the auctioneer looked at the audience and announced that the auction was over. "What do you mean it's over? We didn't come here for a picture of some old guy's son. What about all these paintings? There are millions of dollars of art here. I demand that you tell us what's going on." The auctioneer smiled and replied, "It's very simple. According to the will of the Father, whoever cared enough to buy the painting of his son gets it all."
When we have Jesus, the only Son of the Father, who gave himself for us, we have it all. And he himself is our peace. Amen.